What's up, people? I'm gonna do something a little different. I'm gonna review the show that I had just actually watched, and that was the ICW Insane 8 for 2019, 8/18, 2019 to be specific. It was on Fight TV. It was pretty good quality stream, really. I didn't have any issues with connectivity. The cameras didn't really miss a whole lot. The hard cams and stuff were set up really well. Mainly we're going to talk about the matches and stuff, a couple of things kind of outside of the action, but that's going to be minor and that's going to be later. It's not the most important thing. We're just kind of going to go over some of the matches and basically how the night went as a whole, as a wrestling show, as it should. First match of the night, Orin Veit versus Cologne. Orin is a guy from Minnesota, I believe, originally, but he is in ICW Milwaukee all the time, every month. He's a former world champion / current alternative champion, at least at the time. And Alex Cologne just won Tournament of Survival 4. It's arguably his best year in wrestling in general, especially in death matches in general. And when I saw that match, there's just no way that that's not going to be a banger match. And so basically, there was a lot of action in this one, especially for an opener. It was probably the best quarterfinal match, but it's also the best opener to a tournament I've seen in quite a while. Now, there was a match before the tournament actually started, but I'm not really going to review it because this is a deathmatch page. It was Juan Hernandez and, God, I can't even remember the other guy's name. It wasn't a bad match. Both guys did pretty good, and that's no offense to them, but it wasn't a deathmatch, so it really doesn't seem relevant. But it was good. But Orin and Cologne was a really, really solid match. It was very back and forth. I think it was Doors of Death was the stipulation, which was, doors have basically replaced tables at this point. I'm sure they're just easier to get. But it was Doors of Death. It was very back and forth and a lot of decent offense. I don't think Cologne got quite as much offense as he could have, but both guys got color. Cologne was bleeding from the head, and Orin, I believe, was bleeding from the back. I don't know if he was bleeding from his head or not. I don't know that he bled from his head all night, and I might just not be remembering that right. But basically, it was just a really, really solid opener. If anything, if you buy this show for anything, that match was pretty close to match of the night. If it was either the second or third best match of the night, I would probably say second. The finals was probably the best, and I would say that's a rarity. That really is a rarity. It shouldn't be, but the finals was probably the best in this one, so we'll go with that. So after that, I believe the second match was Marcus Crane versus Eric Ryan, which those are two guys who are very commonly referred to as GCW guys nowadays. Both guys are going to Japan, and they'll be working there in Japan in like 4 days. So the fact that they were both in this tournament was kind of crazy. This was the match where it was kind of really short. There was a lot of stuff that happened. They didn't really waste much time. I just don't know that Eric Ryan got really much offense at all, to be honest with you. Crane basically just went out there and tore it down. Oh, by the way, Orin won the last match. I don't know how I possibly missed that, but Orin won the first match, and Cologne was out. It was kind of expected. He's got a couple really big matches coming up in Japan, and I feel like that this tournament would have been a little different had the Japan trip not shown up right afterwards, and I think a lot of people were kind of concerned that it could have been like a Blood Feast 2 sort of situation where the guys just kind of didn't feel it, or like they kind of, I'm not gonna say they half-assed it, because the guys in Blood Feast didn't necessarily half-ass it, they just weren't really given as much. ICW really went out of their way to make sure that there were weapons there, especially for every match. I mean, there wasn't a match with one box and a light tube. That just didn't happen. But anyways, back to Crane and Ryan. It was really short. It couldn't have been more than maybe 5 minutes, but it was pretty decent. It was a little dry ice and fuckery match, basically. And the dry ice got used a little bit. Some tubes got used, you know, stuff, just basic deathmatch stuff. And Crane went over with a snowplow onto the dry ice, which was really the cool spot from the match. And I'm not going to say it was the only spot. There was a couple, but that was the main one that's memorable. It was pretty cool. So Crane goes over in the first round. You can kind of tell that they were two that were kind of concerned with that they're going to Japan. They made sure to get in, get out kind of thing. And then after that, we had Gage versus O'Hare. I can't remember if Gage versus O'Hare or Tremont versus Slack was first, but I think it was Tremont versus Slack. But we'll just go with Gage versus O'Hare. Gage versus O'Hare was the last one, but we're going to go with that. It was a good match. It definitely felt a little lopsided. About three-fourths of the match was just controlled by Gage. Nick Gage basically controlled everything. Dan O'Hare finally started to get some offense kind of towards the end. He landed some pretty decent stuff, like a couple of high flying moves from such a big guy. I thought that was pretty cool, but it just didn't seem like it was a very competitive matchup or nearly as competitive as the other contests on the night, maybe except for Crane versus Ryan. That one was just too short. You really couldn't say a whole lot. But that match, Gage kind of got a bunch of stuff in and just beat Dan O'Hare up. And he looked tough. He looked really tough. He landed there was a super duper plex, aka a top rope super plex for people that don't know what I mean by that. When they go all the way up, and it was right onto a barbed wire ladder. They bumped on that barbed wire ladder, and ladders and stuff are the ones that bug me. You know, like doors and stuff, that's all good and well, and those will break a little bit. Those ladders have no give, none whatsoever. So when I see people land on the small of their back on a ladder that's wrapped in barbed wire off the top rope when you're like a 300 pounder, man, that looks rough. But basically, Gage just beat the hell out of him. Dan O'Hare kind of started to come back a little bit towards the end, but it never really looked like he was a threat to Gage. Gage is one of those guys that when I see him perform, he performs, I feel like, more competitively with guys that will push him back. And Dan O'Hare is just, I'm not going to say he's not at that level. He's definitely very elite. He did very, very, very well in CZW Tournament of Death this year, went all the way to the finals. But he just didn't seem to push Gage as much as he could have. Maybe towards the end he did a little bit, but it was pretty clear that he was going to lose. There was never really a doubt that he was going to lose that match. But it was a good match. It really was a good match. But one thing I this is a nitpick that I had for this match in particular, and really all night, the commentary was questionable. They had Necro Butcher on commentary, which he wasn't the worst thing, but Necro he's a legend of the deathmatch scene, so I feel like people cut him a little bit of slack, but if anybody else was on commentary making the jokes that he was making, especially towards the later half of the night, they would have gotten shit all over. And to be honest, the other commentator, I think his name was Chuck Eastmooth or something, like, I really don't even want to say that guy's name because I didn't dig that guy at all, not one bit. They basically just shit all over the talent all night. You know, like Dan O'Hare in this match, for example, they're like, oh, the cop hasn't gotten any offense whatsoever. It's like, yeah, we see that. But like, it was just the way that they kind of went about it, especially for like a live pay-per-view. It was pretty clear that maybe they've been able to edit that stuff out and maybe switch it out a little bit or something, because it just didn't flow well. It didn't flow well with some of the matches. But that one in particular was the one where I was kind of like starting to notice where, man, and people in the chat for the show were talking about, man, this commentary is pretty rough. But anyways, there was a match before that was Tremont versus Slack. That match, oh man, that match was balls to the wall. Slack took a lot of bumps, a lot of really, really intense bumps that he's about to go to Japan. You know, I'm not going to say nobody wanted to see him take those, but he took a lot. Like, he took like a suplex onto a chair, and he took a lot of tubes. He was bleeding pretty good. You know how Schlack always bleeds. He has that visceral, you know, alcohol in his blood type blood where it just looks like he's just gushing. And he's just got that deep red going. And so there was no punches pulled here in this match, definitely. It was everything that it could have been. I think this one was Barbed Wire Madness. I'm pretty sure. There was all kinds of shit. A lot of these had stipulations, but they weren't, like, super strict, you know, to that stipulation. Like, pretty much every match had tubes. Pretty much every match had barbed wire. Pretty much every match had doors. That's pretty, except for the Crane and Ryan match. That one pretty much stuck to the stipulation, but that was really the only one. But that one, Schlack and Tremont tore it down. It was a really good match, probably like second or third best match on the night. Like, I would put it up there with Cologne and Vite. It was a really, really good matchup, and I liked it. The only thing that I didn't like, and I'm just going to leave this to an opinion, a lot of the fans didn't seem super behind Schlack losing. The way that it all happened and the end of the match, it just kind of felt like the wind was taken out of him a little bit. And I think that's just because of the way that Schlack is booked, particularly in deathmatch tournaments. And I get it's, you know, it's a loss. He's just doing what he's paid to do, whatever. But people want to see Schlack just kill people. They want to see Schlack go in there, and they want to see him get a win, make it to the damn semifinals. Like, he's always losing in the first round, and he's such a good character. He's such a good deathmatch wrestler and wrestler in general. You know, he's still certainly learning. He's a little older than most people when they start, and he's a little bit more spotty because he did all the time and eat the turnbuckle. But that's not a knock on him. I love Schlack's work. Everyone in the deathmatch world does, and that's not even a knock on Tremont. But it wouldn't have killed anybody to have Schlack win this match. I don't think it would have hurt anything. It could have potentially set up Schlack versus Crane, and I get that they've had like four matches, or it even could have set up Schlack versus Vite or something that we maybe haven't seen before. But I thought this match was really good, but it just, the ending was a little questionable. You know, Tremont just had three matches the other night, and he just won Crimson Cup. It didn't feel like he had to win this match, and it seemed like the crowd kind of felt that way too. In the chat and in the live crowd, it seemed like it kind of, it took a little bit out of him, you know, because then you had the Gage and O'Hare match, and the crowd just wasn't as hyped for that. They're always hyped for when Gage comes out, but once the match actually started, with it not being as competitive as the other ones, it put a damper on it just a little bit, and that's not to sound critical or anything. Then we had the semifinals, and the first one was Matt Tremont versus Marcus Crane. They just kind of were tag team partners at Crimson Cup the other day. They had some pretty good spots from that. It was a pretty entertaining show from what I saw of it. I haven't seen all of it, but I know that they put it up on live, and you could kind of, there was a lot of spots missed from that hard cam, but that was kind of to be expected. They put it up there for free on live, so that was cool. I thought that was a really classy move, and I really enjoyed it. And what I saw of it, I was thoroughly impressed with how the production for that company looked. But basically, in this one, they started out balls to the wall, okay? Marcus Crane comes out with those red-painted light tubes again, which he did in the first round. You know, he's the devil's big red dick. I thought it was catchy. It was cool. But he comes out, and I'm talking, he throws everything at Tremont, everything. And he was focusing on his arm, which was cool to see some form of psychology. And I'm not even gonna say just in a Crane match, but in like a death match like that, where he focused on his arm and he kept hitting the tubes and barbed wire off of his arm. It seemed like Matt got cut pretty quick, and I think they tried to put some tape on him. I think they did put some tape on him and eventually stopped the bleeding, but this was a pretty fast and furious kind of match. Essentially, Crane just threw everything. Like, easily 85-90% of the offense in this match was Crane. doing stuff to Tremont. And so basically it was kind of lopsided, and Tremont basically hit a sunset flip, and it was maybe one of the handful of moves that he hit the whole match. After Crane, I'm talking just threw everything at him, like everything. He threw tubes, he threw barbed wire, he threw bundles of tubes at him, he hit him with the tube on a stick, you know, that big bundle of tubes on a stick, how they do nowadays. And he was just beating the crap out of him, and it really looked like he was gonna go over. And then, and you know, maybe this is because Marcus got something stuck in his back on, like, basically the only two moves that I even remember Crane taking was he took a big Irish whip into the corner with tubes in it. And I think when that happened, he got a piece of glass lodged in, like, a hole of his back, a hole in his back. Or I don't know if the glass made that hole, if that's a previous hole, I don't know. But it was shoved in his back, and Marcus was talking about that he was having trouble standing up because of it. And so I think that might have been what happened, was he took that real bad, and then Tremont kind of rushed in, gave him a sunset flip soon after, got the 1-2-3, and the crowd was just, again, and that's not Tremont's fault, but the crowd just wasn't into it. They were like, what the hell? You know, we just saw Crane beat him up for, I don't even know how long. Again, it was fast and furious, and you could tell that Marcus was trying to save something for Japan. He was just trying to get in, get out kind of deal. But it was good. You know, it was a really good match. It was a good death match. He beat the hell out of him, but it was really lopsided. He did a lot just to get beat with, like, two moves. It seemed questionable, and, you know, as a fan, it's all subjective. We don't know really what the story is there. But it kind of put a damper on the crowd, but everybody kind of got over it real quick. But it was way more quiet than when Tremont beat Schlag. Like, when Tremont beat Crane, it was silent. You didn't know. It's not that everybody didn't want to clap. There's a lot of respect for Tremont, but I feel like a lot of people want to see Crane get a tournament. And, you know, I posted that earlier that Crane deserved that tournament. And somebody commented saying something along the lines of, you know, you got to work, you got to have hard work. I'm like, who the hell are you talking about? Have you not seen Marcus Crane's work over the last 2 years? You know, granted, he's got that maniac style where he's not really, like, the most technically sound in the ring. He did a lot of wrestling tonight. I was happy with it. He started out wrestling with Eric Ryan, and he did some wrestling. I won't even say he really did a whole lot of wrestling in the Tremont match. He just kind of beat the hell out of him. But, you know, he is a guy who, he never pulls anything. He's never really scared to do anything. He makes his opponent look good. He comes out looking good no matter what. And in this one, it was just weird because people want to see him, again, in a tournament final or something. I mean, get some level of respect in the tournament. You know, that's we're deathmatch fans, and you can get deathmatches all year round, but you can be one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in the world, but if you don't have any tournament accolades after 3-4 years of being on the top, it just kind of feels like you're a journeyman. And Crane is not a journeyman. Crane is really good. He's absolutely nuts, and he deserves that kind of thing. And that's my honest opinion. That's not to say that anybody else doesn't, but people want to see that. And then, so after that, we had Tremont go in there. You could tell Crane was kind of hurt. He looked like he had a cut on his hand. Now we know that he had glass sticking in his back, and Dr. Schlatt got it out or whatever. But it was just, it put a damper on it. But after that, you had Gage versus Orin, which that match was incredibly short. It had, like, Legos and some tubes and a couple other things, but there were Legos, like, everywhere, and I really think they only bumped on them maybe, it was maybe a 5-minute match, and it just didn't seem like it was what it could have been. I know their last match in ICW, a lot of people were like, man, that match was nuts, because this was a rematch, and again, it was for both titles, it was for both titles this time. I think last time it was for just the ICW world title. But basically, Oren gets the win. But it was like, he did it, and it was so quick that even the fans there were kind of like, whoa, like, hey, did he just win that fast? And Gage pops up immediately, and maybe he's working people, but he legit looked pissed. He legit looked pissed, grabbed a microphone, shit-talked the Milwaukee crowd, shit-talked Dysfunction, told him not to play his music till he was good and damn well ready, and he just legitimately looked upset. And, you know, whether he's working us or not, that's all subjective. We can just guess on that. But he basically went full heel and just shit on the crowd. And this lady threw a beer on him. Oh, man. Man, that's fucked up. I don't care what a wrestler's saying, but if you throw a beer on him, I'm sorry, you should be thrown out of that arena. That's just the bottom line. I don't give a fuck who you are, if he's supposed to be the bad guy or whatever. You don't throw a beer on somebody. You know, and then somebody had held her back, and then she was back up there talking shit. And of course, Gage was a total professional about it and didn't do anything. But man, that would have been Gage a couple years ago. We'd have been in for some shit. But you could definitely tell he seemed legitimately upset with how it went. Talked about how he's never been beaten 5 minutes before, and basically said Oren is what the problem is with the business right now. It was kind of a vague promo in terms of that, because he didn't really go into that, but he just clearly didn't like being in Milwaukee, or at least that's how he made it seem. And that's pretty much as simple as that one was. It was, they weren't happy. He wasn't happy. The crowd was, you know, he got the crowd all pissed off, and that worked. He did a good job of it. So basically after that, we went to the intermission. It showed last year's finals between Oren and Cody Rice, and you could definitely tell the difference in levels between last year's tournament and this year's tournament. I said in one of the posts earlier that I wish that Cody Rice would have kind of been in Dan O'Hare's spot, and that's not a knock on Dan O'Hare, but Cody Rice, I think, would have had a good match with Gage, and I saw him a couple months ago at Trainwreck, and he's a guy who he really impresses me every time I see him, and he really tries, and he's got a character and stuff like that, which is not exactly very common in death matches. But I thought he would have been a good fit for that, because I'm pretty sure he's actually from that area. It just seems like an obvious choice. Like, I don't know. But so that one, after that, you kind of cut, and we showed that little matchup, and you know, Oren ends up winning, obviously. It was a decent little match, lots of tubes. But we go to the finals. It's Matt Tremont versus Oren Veit. This is, I believe, their third meeting. I know they met in Time Bomb in, God, I think it's like North Dakota or something like that. And they'd met elsewhere. I can't think of exactly where. I apologize. It might be GCW. It might not be. But they'd met up there, and my understanding is that Tremont had lost both those occasions. And this match, they spent probably good 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, just setting up. And I'm talking, when you get back to that ring, there is everything. This wasn't the Blood Feast Finals. There wasn't one that you could definitely tell that they had seen that and been like, yeah, we're not going to fucking do that. And so they had a shitload of weapons. I'm talking, there were so many weapons, I was doubting that they were going to get all used. And to their credit, they used damn well every weapon that was in there, especially the tubes, especially the ladders, all that. You know, maybe they didn't bump on them, but they used them in some form of fashion and took a superplex off of them and stuff like that. This match was nuts. They went back and forth. You know, Tremont did his whole, come on, motherfucker. His come on, motherfucker thing. He does that in pretty much every match. It's kind of his thing. He usually does it with the Young Guns. Like, I remember when he did it with Mance Warner at TOD, and Mance just threw that bundle right in his face and about knocked him over. But Tremont makes it really entertaining. This was the no rope, barbed wire, fucking everything. It was like, I think it was labeled Ultimate Insanity. So, and it lived up to that. There was all kinds of weapons, and you know, Tremont bumped onto the wire a few times, and Oren kept hitting him, and, you know, he'd keep doing the, come on, motherfucker. So he put him on the wire, and he's just kind of sitting there, and he keeps getting hit with tubes, and gets shit thrown in his face and gets hit with the light tube fan and all kinds of stuff. You know, it was pretty back and forth. He was kind of putting the hurt on Orin. Orin was putting the hurt on him. And after a long, I won't say long, it was a pretty competitive matchup. It was decent. And I'd say it was match of the night. You know, the crowd was pretty nuts for it. They really liked Orin being in the finals. I think especially because Gage had just kind of shit all over him. I think that they were just really behind him. And they'd kind of gotten over that Crane wasn't in it. They're like, man, we got Tremont versus Orin Vite. That's an awesome matchup. And it is. And it lived up to it. Like I said, it's a rarity that the finals is the best match on your card for a deathmatch tournament nowadays. But I honestly think that this one was. Maybe with the exception of Alex Clone or Invite, but that was just so balls to the wall, and those guys are so good. But this one, there was all kinds of weapons. There was somewhat of a story there. And after a long, hard-fought battle, we have Orinvite getting the victory. And I don't remember exactly what move he did. I'm sorry, I'm not really an announcer type right now. I didn't write anything down, so I'm just kind of doing this off a whim. But he beat him, and it was a really good matchup. And Tremont gets on the microphone, says there's only one guy that's beaten me three times. Not twice, not gone back and forth. He's beaten me three times, and that's Orinvite. And so he put him over pretty good, and the crowd was definitely behind it. Orin got on the mic and thanked people, and, you know, the generic I won a deathmatch tournament kind of promos, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it was a really solid matchup. It was a really good show. In closing, the only thing that I really think that would have made this tournament better is the commentary. And I don't want to go off on a tangent here because I get we're just fans and we'll deal with it and watch it anyways. But if you're going to have another iPay-per-view with how that commentary was, the product itself, the in-ring talent and everything was great. The commentary did nothing to put them over at all. You know, Necro was pretty much drunk at the end, and that's entertaining to a degree, but Necro's cutting racy jokes all night. Chucky Smooth or Cucky Smooth or whatever the fuck his name was, I don't even give a fuck. I was mad at that dude because about halfway through, it was probably in between one of the matches, he pulls over one of the super fans, a man by the name of Jeffrey Skelton. And if you've been to a deathmatch show or if you watch pretty much any deathmatch show, tournament, anything, I've seen the dude. You see that guy that's wearing the orange hat, it's in the front, gets beat red face because Nick Gage comes out, and he is so fucking hyped every time I see that dude. Every time. And he's fucking always there. Like, he lives in Canada, and I know that. He's a pilot, and he does all this stuff. Well, they brought him over and talked to him, and who's going to win? And he goes, Nick fucking Gage. Nick fucking Gage. And, you know, he's just a passionate fan. Well, as soon as he walks away, the commentators are talking shit about him. Particularly that Chucky Smooth. I can't believe he's a pilot. That's a fucking fan, dude. That's a fan that paid to come from Canada to come to fucking Wisconsin to watch your fucking show. And you're going to make sure that he's out of ear reach before you start talking shit about him. I thought it was extremely unprofessional. And the dude just did it all night. Talking shit about the fans. And somebody said, yeah, he's supposed to be a heel or whatever. Yeah, but that's not heel heat, dude. That's you're talking shit about the fans looking unprofessional as hell. You know, I was really turned off after that. And it, you know, maybe if I wouldn't have known who Jeffrey was and seen him. And Jeff, sorry, I don't mean to call him by his full name. But if I wouldn't have known who he was, and it wouldn't have struck me so bad. But after he'd been saying shit about fans and workers, like there was a lady that was helping out carry stuff to the ring. They kept referring to her, and, you know, Necro kept talking about her titties and all this stuff. And, you know, that's good and well and funny, and Necro's being funny. Necro's been in the business a long, long time. He's got a certain level of respect. And maybe I just don't know who this dude is, but I didn't give a shit. And I don't think anybody else did either. And I know in the chat all night for Fight TV, people were just dogging on the commentary. I think if there's to be another Fight TV card, I wouldn't be surprised if they asked for that dude not to be on commentary, or Necro in particular to not be on commentary, just because the two of them, there wasn't a balance. It wasn't an announcer and a color guy, you know, where they're talking shit and there's a good guy and then there's one that calls the moves. No, it wasn't that. The dude was marking out for Necro Butcher, talking to him and hanging out with him all night. And I saw Eric Ryan come out before the finals, and I was like, oh my God, Eric Ryan's going to save him on commentary, because you heard him at Blood Feast. He's not bad. He's actually very solid on commentary. It's entertaining. And basically, no, he wasn't there. They left Necro there, who's all drunk and drinking and everything. And it did the matches no favors having that dude on commentary. And I'm sorry I went off on a little 3 minute or so tangent on that, but I just had to get that out there, that this show would have been better without that dude on it, or without that commentary. There's plenty of people that can do commentary. There were plenty of boys that came over from Jersey that could have brought one of their guys over, anybody. But, you know, Necro Butcher, cool. You put him on one match on commentary. He said it himself, I've never really done commentary for this long before. Yeah, you could tell. And that's not a knock on Necro, but he shouldn't have been on commentary all night long, especially with that dude. You know, or do the GCW thing and mix it around. You know, doesn't Danny Havoc live out there? Don't they go out to Danny Havoc's Wisconsin death trip or whatever? Call Danny Havoc in. Have him on it. He's one of the best commentators in the damn business, especially on deathmatch sides. Especially because he's been in there and he calls the moves right. He makes it entertaining. That's the only thing where this show, I think, lacked a little bit. Overall, I would say it was a really good show, though. You know, the quarterfinals were all really, really solid. The first quarterfinal and the Tremont Schlack match in particular, really, really good and worth purchasing. Even with the commentary, you know, nobody wants to have to mute the commentary, though. You know, you want the commentary. The commentary is a big part of your production. And that just is where it kind of lost, I feel like, a lot of people. Or that if that guy's on commentary again, it's just people are going to do the same thing and be like, dude, why the fuck? There's so many people that you could have. But basically, it was quarterfinals were really good. The semis were both really short, really quick. You know, they wanted to save something for the finals. I get that. Finals was balls to the wall, bananas, totally earned the match of the night moniker in my eyes, especially with all that had happened before it, and putting over Orin, over Cologne, Gage, and Tremont in one night. I mean, that's one hell of a lineup of death match legends right there that he beat in one night. And Orinvite's legit. You know, Orinvite is very legit when he wants to be. And I think he's really good. I think he's really good, really solid. I'd seen him in IWA a few times live in person, and he's killed it every time. And that's just pretty much what I walk away with it. If I was to rank it maybe out of 5 stars or so, I'd probably give it like a 3.5 out of 5 stars. And that's a pretty good ranking for a deathmatch tournament. Like, a lot of deathmatch tournaments will have a absolutely crazy opening round and they'll kind of fizzle out. And that was kind of a worry with this show with when the semis, because the crowd was just kind of getting a little They took that intermission, they came back, the crowd was super hype. So thankfully that didn't fizzle out and the finals was really good and it lived up to all the hype. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little review segment, and I hope that I didn't ramble on for too long. But if you agree with what I said, if you like this little segment and you want to hear more of them, let me know. I still have to do a review for a couple of shows that I would like to do. Well, long story short, I tried to record one last time and I forgot to switch my mic over, so I was just talking to myself for like an hour. But I tried to keep this short and sweet. I know 35 minutes isn't exactly short and sweet, but for all the action that happened and for me to not go into certain moves and whatever happened in the match, I think that's not bad. But I hope you guys enjoyed this, and hopefully I'll have another one up for you soon. Let me know what you guys thought of the show. I'm very curious. And follow us on Twitter, DeathmatchE. Deathmatch Empire everywhere else. We're in a Facebook group. We're on a Facebook page. We're on a YouTube page. We're on Instagram. So we're everywhere. Just give us a follow. Give us a like. Let us know what you like and what you want to see. And we'll hopefully have it up for you very soon. You guys have a good one, and I'll see you later.